I'm on the radio, yes sirree. I'm on the radio, yes sirree. I'm on the radio, yes sirree. I hope you're on the radio with me. I am Hardy, yes sirree. I'm on the radio and I'm Hardy. I'm on the radio and you're with me. And I hope also on the radio is Joe Duffy. Is he?
Hardy.
No. Am I alone?
How are we doing?
Am I even on? Is that Joe?
Oh, I'm here. We're here. We're shuffling. We're shuffling.
Hello, may I speak to Joe?
We call that the Jersey City shuffle there, Hardy. I know you know all about that.
Did you like my opening?
Always, every time.
I freestyled that. I wasn't gonna. I was thinking about writing something.
You know,
I thought. No, I'm just gonna go. I'm gonna do it from the heart.
You are an excellent rapper for the type of dude that you are. And I actually have on my overnight show where I used to play a lot of hip hop. I have a Hardy rap saved that I would drop every once in a while.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, onomatopoeia. Wouldn't want to be
the best rappers that we can be.
That's
and
right.
And often that is very sucky. But that's okay, because if you're doing your best, it shows, I think.
I think
that's
so.
I've always done my, I've said, I'm going to do it, whatever I'm going to do, I'm going to do it right up to whatever that cringe precipice is. And I'm, you know, and I don't care. I'm going to show all of myself. And it can be, you know, maybe benefit me. And so, you know, when Lucy said, I want to help you out, Desi, with your show. And he says, no, you're incompetent and a fool. And then she does it, and it ends up being comic genius, even though she didn't intend it to be. And that's what I'll hope when I do something sincerely. Maybe I'll do it so poorly that it'll just be hilarious. And I think that that's what ends up happening a lot of times. I'm so glad to be with you, old friend.
We haven't spoken in forever. I used to talk to you every week.
I know.
For many years.
We don't talk anymore. I think that's been really good for our friendship.
Yeah.
I think a lot of relationships would benefit from just prolonged absence.
Yes, that's true.
Or no interaction at all.
That's true.
Because I'm one of those people, like, I do have that kind of pub mentality where my memories of you are unbelievable.
There's no way they could live up to, the current situation.
They're so great.
Yeah.
And so you live in my heart in such a huge way that you can only ruin it. And so I think any kind of interacting that would we remember. See, I come from I don't mean to make any presumptions, but I think we have similar backgrounds. So I come from a family of hardcore alcoholics. So Severance, the TV show, isn't anything new to me. That's how
right.
we lived our life.
For sure.
Right? So I don't remember anything that happened. Good. That was the whole point. You had some of your Severance juice, and your life is wonderfully divided like that. Oh, my goodness. But now I feel it's integrated and be able to work and play and interact with my friends and good friends like yourself. Oh, Joe Duffy. I was just thinking the other day, though, I was feeling bad for you because I thought you're probably in school. You're probably teased a lot for your name. And the kids would be like, you know, Duffy's Tavern, we're the elite meat to eat. Archie, the manager, speaking. Duffy's not here. Oh, hi, Duffy.
I got
it. Do that?
The name is on the goofier side, so there was a lot of rhyming.
That particular one.
Right.
The big references to the old radio show.
No, not necessarily. But the biggest one was The Simpsons. There's a character named Duffman.
Oh, right.
Who's a big party animal who drank a lot. So that was early on upsetting to me. And then later on, I embraced it.
But I guess the radio show was off the air by that time. So no, but you went to school in New Jersey?
I'm a proud graduate of Stony Brook Elementary, Copeland Middle School, Morris Hills High School. Actually, I didn't graduate from there.
So there were probably guys that had been there since the 40s.
I think so, yeah.
Still, yeah.
Mr. Dicker.
I'm graduating one of these days.
Yeah.
I'm getting out of here. Yeah. I remember there was always fellas in elementary school with mustaches or long beards. And say, wow, you keep going, though. Math is hard.
That was when I quit Little League, we started having to hit against the guys who had facial hair. Which I still can't grow.
So many of my T-ball league were on roids, and they pretended they weren't, right? I was like, there's no way that toddler is doing that, hitting it like that so far. Oh, my God. You know, I don't believe, I do believe in a lot of things. I'm trying to not. But one of the things I do believe in, I think is worth believing in, is, I don't know, our thing, WFMU. And why do I believe in it so much? I'll tell you why I believe in it, because it is a conduit. It is a direct line to you, my friends out there, the listeners. And you know what's not in the way of it? Somebody telling me what to say or what to do, or even, this is worse. So you say, well, no one's telling me what to say. And people say that on commercial television all the time. They don't have to, because once you go to work and once you speak for one of those commercial endeavors, they put something inside you. No, you put it inside of yourself, and you welcome into you this little demon that tells you what to say. No, you better not say that, because that might be against their interests. You see, if you are in a society where somebody is profiting off of something, let's say they're selling some kind of liquid beverage, and they depend on that, and you say innocently on the radio, you know, water takes care of all your needs. You can drink water sometimes for free, and it's all you need to hydrate. Now, you don't think that that's a threatening piece of information, because it's true. And yet, it might be counter to someone else's interest, because they are trying to suppress that particular truth, because they're selling you something. So if I were to tell you that you already have something that is being actively sold to you, well, that is dangerous. And we are nothing but dangerous here. I've always thought that WFMU is a subversive entity. It's just that nobody has really seen it that way or needed it yet. You know, there were tunnels under Stalag 13 before it was ever a prison camp. It just so happens that they became important after the prison camp was built. So, yeah, there were tunnels under there, but they were using them to store grain and everything like that. And, yes, there were still uniforms from various militaries being stored down there, but it wasn't wartime, and so they weren't that important. It's only when it became a Stalag. Am I saying correctly in the German? That the Hogans had access to it and were able to go down there, and then it became something important in the way that this radio station is something important that you don't think it's going to be until you need it. Oh, my goodness, that balloon at the beginning of Andrei Rublev. It's just a bunch of skins, right? But you fill it with hot air and you can rise above. Eventually you perish, but you can rise above everything temporarily, you see. Buoyed by what? By the truth that hot air rises. And they want to shoot you down when you say what's true and what's good, and they don't want you united like that in something that is uncommodifiable, and that is the spirit of the human heart and our love for one another and our freedom. Oh, it's unfettered. That's why you hear all sorts of things on this radio station that might be counter to other people's interests, but you know, sometimes you fly below their radar and they don't even know that you're screaming curses at them above in that poison factory. But oh, if they do find out, they will squash you. So we need your help. That's why we are like Cash Money. We're an army. And I think, wasn't
better
that
yet,
joke?
Better yet, hip-hop? The Navy.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And they threw some other colorful language
I think,
in there.
Yeah,
as well.
We can't really quote too much from that song.
Military.
No, I don't think that would be prudent. Wouldn't be prudent to do.
It wouldn't be, but it's so powerful when juvenile, whoever says it.
Hardy, we do have we had a couple friends called in to give us. Oh, you said we're not selling anything, but
well,
we kind of are.
we're giving thanks, and oh yeah, yes. But we're using, this is resources, and it's
correct.
Very clear what we're doing. It isn't like politicians. You say, I was curious what you're doing with the money I'm sending you. Oh, just keep sending it. So, but it's really clear what we're doing here, and we are doing just like the lyrics of Good Time say. Scratching and surviving, or I think that's what they're saying. It's hard to tell. They kind of mumble it. But let's thank some people, Joe.
We are going to thank, first person we're going to thank, it's actually a duo, Zachary and Annie in West Lafayette, Indiana. And they thank you, Hardy, for the Dada, capital T, capital D. So I don't know if that's, I don't know. Do you identify with that?
With Dada?
With Dada.
Or did you?
Yes.
With do I identify with Dada?
Yeah.
Do I?
Do well.
Hello?
I don't...
I'm doing it right now. You're doing it now.
I know. That's the thing. Like, I realized very quickly that that's not really fruitful.
Well, here's why absurdity is not just silliness. You know, it is a sort of camouflage. And I've always been under the impression that we are doing and advocating subversive things. Occasionally, like if we get good enough at it, they do try to come after us, right?
They do.
So, but
it's happened more than once.
In the underground is a protection. But sometimes, you know, like negative land, you go, whoops, you must have stuck your head up too high. And then they come and they try to lop it off, right? And then you run into the people that really run things. So we need, this is just back getting. People are getting each other's back. But one of the techniques that we use to disseminate the truth, and most importantly, to free people's minds, because we want them to be unfettered from their own limitations. What we have is a real big failure of the imagination as people self-oppress, which is the worst thing. Yes, no, people are not telling some people what to say, but they are, because they are. We self-censor, we don't even realize it. We don't like things, we have taste and things like that, because we are afraid of our hearts. And that is insane. So I want all these to make peace with ourselves and our souls, and to accept ourselves, and to for us to be in charge of who gets to say who we are. And that's an incredibly subversive thing right now. And so I think it's appreciated that we're doing this, and we're doing it in a confusing way.
We're getting closer to the truth,
Zachary,
I think.
And Annie, I think that was their name.
Yes. I'm glad we answered their question, which I'm shocked. Lenore in Westfield, which is a lovely name. Thank you, Lenore. Thank you to Chris in Maplewood. Annalise, in Catskills, New York. Colin in Ann Arbor. Robert in Tinton Falls. You're very popular, Hardy. I got a lot here to go through. Lisa in Hoboken. Steve in Seattle with a... extra t-shirt sized pledge. Torstein in Oslo, Norway, with a very nice sustaining pledge. He's given us about $16 or $17 a month, which we very much appreciate. And if that's something you're interested in, you should give us a call at 1-800-989-9368. This is a nice one from Jeff in Mendota Heights, Minnesota, which is assonant. I love that. Mendota Heights, Minnesota. Hardy White is the most uplifting person I've ever heard on the radio.
Oh, thank you.
You've never listened to my show, Jeff, but that's fine, you know?
Joe's up there, too. It's just that there are many, we are legion, the uplifters.
Yes, we do the best that we can. Mark in Kentwood, Michigan, blesses to you and yours, Hardy White. Long may you run. That's very beautiful. Kat in Philadelphia, Leslie in Hollywood, Brett in Cranford, Luke in Richmond, and Joshua in Fleetwood, Pennsylvania, have all given us very generous pledges.
Thank you so much. I'm doing a thing where I'm trying to visualize. So, but it's ending up like, what was that X-Men where Professor X, he puts on the helmet, right?
Cerebro.
And he could see people, like,
yes.
They pop up, and that's what happens when you read these names.
Absolutely.
And their locations.
Yes,
I try
and they
to close
are.
My eyes, and I can see them sort of floating in space at their desk or something.
As WFMU listeners, they also may be mutants as well, which is good.
They probably are. If they're
high prevalence. High prevalence of potential mutants for sure. You get a lot from a name like Jason in Walpole, New Hampshire.
Nice.
Seems very evocative to me. And Jason has given us $10 a month. Thank you, Jason. Enjoy your t-shirt and the sleepy time package that we have. Oh, thank you very much.
Whoa.
They're running them in, Hardy. I wish we could get a mic on the ringing in there. The phones are ringing, folks. I promise
you. That ringing when the printer prints, there's a ringing.
Correct.
Sound,
yes, correct. And
satisfied.
That's one of my favorite sounds. Oh, there we go. Lovely. All right, we're getting it a little bit. I'm getting it a little bit on the mic here. Robin, this is a phone in. This is a phone pledge, which, again, we love. I love, anyway, as an analog fetishist. Robin in, where is this? San Francisco, California. Very nice.
Oh, nice, nice.
Thank you for the weekly nutrition. Shout outs to my friends on the comments page. Thank you, Robin. That's a t-shirt size pledge from Robin. Mark in Seabright, down the shore. He pledged $91.1, which we should do. Why don't we have that as like a regular tier? I guess
that
it's kind of a weird
creative
number. Yeah, yeah. I've all the years I've been doing that, I don't think I've ever seen that, which is shocking. And Christian in Kaiser, Oregon. Kaiser spelled like Kaiser Soze.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah, which is also very evocative.
Right, love it. It's a good name, though.
Yeah.
It's the same name as like Charles and everything, isn't it? See, like all those names?
Like?
I don't know. I always think there's just one name, and then every language has a version of it. I know that's not true.
There's a couple of those.
All.
Yeah.
But I think with some Latin derivations and everything, there are names. I'm not interested in names. I think sometimes people, when I was young, people would make fun of people's names for whatever reason. And I only later did it strike me that there were just really kind of levels of wrong with that. It seems harmless. But a lot of times you'd make fun of a name that seems strange just because they're from another culture or something like that. Or you've never heard of it.
Do you think the Proto-Indo-Europeans had like the same, you know, like there was a Tom Cruise in PIE, you know? I mean, it's like a verb. Anyone whose name is like a verb or a trade.
Right, right.
The roots go deep.
Those names like that are interesting. So this is so I say things, this is wonderful. We don't fact check anything we say. And, but I'm just, as a human being, I like to say the following is something I may have read.
You've got to cover yourself.
I may have read that there's some, so at some point in its history, maybe in the 18th century, Austria decided that Jews couldn't have patronyms anymore. So they couldn't be like Ben, you know, David, Ben, so-and-so.
Right, right, right.
Yakov, right? So you've got to have like an actual surname. So I think they assigned surnames, but they assigned surnames that were proper nouns. So if you've ever done like genealogy there, you see that some people have names like, you know, Diamond, or just, it's like a ver elephant, or Butterfly, Schmitterling, or John Banner from Hogan's Heroes. I'm bringing it around to Hogan's Heroes. Did you see me do that?
It's very good. Back? Yes. All I know is Colonel Klink from that show.
Yes.
That's my biggest.
They had two of the regulars were Austrian Jews that had fled.
Correct. I think he had survived the Holocaust.
But Leon Askin.
Sorry, that's not funny.
Who played General Burkhalter. John Banner had actually been in the army in Austria and fled. Robert Clary had been in a prison camp. He played LeBeau. What a strange show. I watch it because I watch the network that's for invalids. They've had this one. If you just watch it with an antenna.
Yes.
They have my friend works for hospice and he says, oh, that's the channel that all my dying clients watch.
It is
and you watch, it's like MASH and everything. So I remember that. Everyone is dead on all the shows, by and large.
Lunchtime, they do I Love Lucy, so I'll do that when I'm working from home.
Oh, they're even more dead.
It's going pretty far back.
Oh, that one dude's alive or whatever. Two of them or three of them are alive on MASH, or four of them are alive. Oh, I guess they're not all dead.
I think we lost Alan Alda, didn't we? Yeah, so that's a big one.
Oh, Alan Alda's not dead.
Oh, he's not? Oh, okay. Sorry.
I didn't mean to. You just started that. Really.
Yeah, that's right. You shouldn't say stuff like that on the radio.
What you say on the radio in New Jersey, it has started riots.
That's true. That's the original. The first radio riot was right here in Grover's Mills.
That's right, because, as you know, there has been a landing of aliens, and they are coming out of their spaceship, and it's really just a jar being opened in a toilet, but you're a stupid rube, and you think it's a spaceship. It's not. No, it's just Foley, you idiots. Yeah, that's a great thing. We didn't, for a while, you couldn't do any kind of fake newscast. Now all newscasts are fake.
It's funny.
Isn't
that
weird? But they're not even like art for art's sake. It's just like, God, let's just lie. let's just lie, everything be a lie. So
it's the equivalent if he had been selling survival equipment. You know, you'd go on, you could go on, and the aliens are invading, and also.
That would be great that the hoax is, yeah, that you're like, you're selling those big vats of instant rice or whatever Jim Baker
the
sells.
The Jim Baker special, yeah.
Yeah, he should sell whole, see, again, I'm going to do the Hogan Serial callback, sell entire underground bunkers. Because, you know, they used to have people, there was the fallout shelter was a staple sometimes in mid-century homes. You know, if you looked at them and said, you know, this one still has a bomb shelter. And people would, you know, we're going to there'll be beans in there and we'll be fine because there's beans. And
beans you can eat for the next 3 years.
And there was even, I don't know if you saw this online a while back, there was somebody built an entire, they had a house. It was like in Las Vegas or something. And then underground, there was the same house. With a fake outdoors. Did you see this?
No, but I like the symmetry.
Pool?
Yeah, I like the symmetry. I think that's.
And then just like, you know, Truman Show walls that look like a sky and everything, but it was just underground. And I thought, oh, that's so, you know, that's a lovely place to go to die. Because that's what it would be.
It's a tomb. It is functionally identical to the ancient Egyptians at that point. Because you're not getting out of there.
Maybe that's what that was. You know, I'm going to go in there like 5 years prior, and just you know, right?
Yeah, ride it out.
Eat beans and watch MeTV.
Yep.
It's not terrible. It's not a bad way to go. Maybe this is why it's so great that there's a WFMU archive. Because you go, oh, I'm going to pretend it's 2012 when everything was, remember?
All you need is a 1 terabyte hard drive, folks. Mm-hmm. Go on there and you'll have all the radio you could ever need. The archives go back 20 years, so you could listen roughly 24 hours for 20 years and not repeat.
That's so crazy.
Yeah. 25 years now,
there was
actually.
A guy who listened to all my show, I have like 500 and some hours. He listened to all of them in a row and then died. I think this happened just recently.
I probably did. I mean, I did, I did that for about 4 years, 50, you know, times 52.
Oh, you had to, you were made to.
Well, I could have left at any time, trust me. And
like
I think there was,
weird
there might have been,
experiment.
I think there was
I
at least.
I worked for the CIA and they just locked me in a room and I had to listen to this one particular show.
Ken had something hooked up monitoring my brainwaves. Yeah.
I don't want to put you on the spot or anything. Did you sit there and actually listen to it?
Absolutely. Oh, I mean, you know, the rhythms, Hardy, you know? I mean, it's
I really appreciate it.
Yeah. I mean, you don't look. If you'd given me a pop quiz after every episode, you know.
No, I don't want to that's burdensome. People have asked me that, you know, don't you want people to remember what you say? And I go, "Oh, no. I mean, it really is burdensome." And I think like about you know, like, you've been to a con, right? You've been to a Comic-Con or you've seen, like, writers and everything have to be, like, signing books of their fans and everything.
Yes.
Not their fans' books. Writers, bring me your book and I'll sign your book for a change. No, would they do book signings or anything? So, and it's just, it feels like, you know, to have people come up and, like, regurgitate the art and everything and that, or talk about your books or anything like that.
Oh, yeah,
and
the super fans. Regurgitate is a very good word.
It just seems like weird. It feels like you've burdened people with your ideas in a way. Because they do go off and do their own thing in individuals, and you don't know what they're doing.
No. You know.
Your ideas.
It's scary. You can't control the idea once you put it in their head, you know. They can kind of do what they want with it, and
right.
You don't know what it's going to end up, how it might exercise itself. We got a fresh one here, Hardy. Hold on. From
who's that?
Lisa in Hoboken. And she says to you, Hardy, thanks to you, I discovered a channel that only plays Columbo movies. I'm hoping I'd find one for the Rockford Files soon. Oh, and just one more thing. God bless you.
Oh, thank you so much.
That's very sweet.
Lisa.
We got a couple.
Go ahead.
No, please. Amy in Seattle, who thinks WFMU is the best station ever and loves you in particular. Melinda in Kalamazoo, love Hardy, LUV. So four loves, but only three letters. Travis in Spring Hill, Florida. Katie in Tallahassee. Yeah. And Harry
Katie
in
Tallahassee is probably my one of my oldest friends on earth.
Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
Florida. I didn't know you were a Florida man.
Yeah. Florida. Oh, I'm buddy. You know, I'm Florida now, man. Every
as soon as it came,
of the damn day.
As soon as it came out of my mouth, I realized.
I really am though. Yeah. I'm living in Kentucky, but I'm totally Florida.
Louisville. How is Louisville treating you? A friend, Cheyenne is down there. I know.
I'm in Lexington. I don't mean to correct.
Oh, okay. My fault.
You were wrong.
It started with an L.
I'm in Lexington. Where Richard Hell is from, as you know.
Oh, did not know that.
And Jim Varney. God, they did not go to the same high school.
I hope no one's ever given you the Jim Varney comparison.
I wouldn't mind. Man, he's a hero here. his family still lives here. He's adored.
What about Vern? Vern wasn't a real person. Vern was just the guy he was yelling at.
He was doing a bit.
Yeah.
But one of the things that's great is he was local for a long time. He just was doing commercials, like living in Tennessee.
That's
and doing,
awesome.
Local commercials. And I think he kept a house. I mean, he's from Lexington, but he lived in Tennessee. But I don't know that he ever moved to California or anything.
Never went Hollywood. Ernest Goes Hollywood, a movie they never made.
Hollywood, and it's like he did as much cocaine as you and I weigh, probably. But
that counts, yeah. That's
never physically went out there or anything like that. So he's like, I wouldn't mind. Boy, I tell you, any kind of if you affect because this he kind of people have a great affection for him.
Yes.
Escapist kind of silly characters. And that's a lovely thing if you can do that. If your clowning can be that profound to somebody, you know, where you've kind of touched them with just being an idiot.
I've probably seen Ernest Scared Stupid 20 times.
Yeah. Wow. Good for you.
I don't know what I was escaping from when I was 8, but I really loved that movie.
Yeah, right. Because just to know that there's adults that are dumber than
you. Yeah, you know, that 100% it. There's no other really viable explanation. We have one here from Scott. This just came in hot off the presses. This is getting a little philosophical here. Scott in Brooklyn says, It is very difficult to do anything extreme. It is easier to do something in the middle. The center itself requires no effort. The center is the equilibrium. There's no struggle here. Daniel Karma. I don't know if this is a quote. Yeah. So.
All right.
You're inspiring the people, Hardy. I don't know exactly.
Out here on the fulcrum.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know about the center not requiring effort. I'm struggling to stay centered constantly.
Yeah. When I said fulcrum, I evoked this horrible, horrible image in my head, which was I was in Carcassonne, France, and it's a beautiful old walled city, like a medieval looking, looks like out of a fairy tale. And there is a museum of torture in the Carcassonne, and they have various devices that they say were used by, I imagine, the church or some other benevolent organization that knows what they're doing. No amateurs would use these things. But they had such things as, and I'm not referring to the fantastic legacy metal act, Iron Maiden, but they had one of those. And they had this thing that looked like a sort of four-sided pyramid, which I guess is a pyramid. And what they would do, and it's pointy. And I guess what they would do is they would put you on top of it. So that the point would be, you would be sitting on the point.
Oh, no. Oh, really?
Yes. Oh. And then you would be encouraged to keep going.
Oh, no. With weights or something?
If this was a device that, and the other thing was like a vegetable or anything, it would be exquisite. You go, how quickly that radish or something is made into bits. But
right.
Yeah, they would use this on other humans. So I had seen this device and I had thought to myself that, boy, that's awful. And I wonder if this is not always lurking in the hearts of human beings. You know, my goodness, they're so uncharitable to one another. And whether this was, who knows who was used on Cathars or some other sect that opposed the church. And I thought, oh my goodness, I'm going to go on the radio and tell people, hey, don't stick pyramids up other humans. At the very least, start there.
Yeah.
And then we'll work on being like more subtle, you know, kindness. But well, let's start there. Stop killing and torturing them first.
I'm very distracted by the idea of a poor Gnostic person who just, you know, just wants to dissociate and, you know, still be into Jesus, having to sit down on a pyramid.
Right,
it seems particularly cruel.
Oh, I was just against, you know, corruption and hypocrisy, and I thought we could all love one another. You know, fool, something like that. And you go, man, it's so hard to stay centered these days. They would say things like that. And, oh, my goodness, it was. So I've always been, I've always believed that behind everything that we do, no matter how light it is or silly or fun, we must always make sure that we are always upholding the most important values. And, you know, morality gets a bad name, and we don't have to call it that. We can just call it how we treat human beings or even how we treat ourselves. And that needs to be addressed and evaluated, I think, all the time, even if it's unspoken and subtle, that all the things we do, we advocate for human dignity. And even if I choose to make an artistic presentation where I assault my own dignity, that is my choice. And I do that as a way of demonstrating its worth, not discarding it. So I think that's why artists like our radio station, don't they? Hmm. Creators.
It is very funny to think of WFMU, which is a place that has been the site of so much debauched activity and you know, various strains of, you know, let's call it sex, drugs, rock and roll, or, you know, whatever it is, something that's always stood on the fringe of good taste, you know, in the current ecosystem, really is a pillar of human dignity. It's one of the last ones. There's no algorithms here. There's no one here to steal your data. There's no one here to profile you and put you into a box and try to figure out how to sell you something. I guess we try to figure out how to sell you T-shirts, but, you know, that's,
yeah,
I think,
no,
a bit more dignified than...
Yeah, the first time I ever came up and visited the radio station, and I actually interacted with the community, with the volunteers and people had been there forever, or DJs had been there for a long time. And it was really exactly what I expected in many ways, in that it was, everybody was really exceptionally ordinary, not ordinary in a boring way, just like really, I don't know, maybe these are the people I've surrounded myself with my whole life, so I didn't know, you know, it's not unusual to me,
for sure,
right? But people with a passion for something, like very, very into music,
yeah,
but also other arts and things, just, you know, self-expression, or you know, and not everybody chooses to personally self-express, like not everybody's dressed crazy or anything, not everybody has,
not everybody, tats. Some people.
Some people.
One or two.
I don't know. On the flamboyant scale, it's all over the place.
Sure.
So
I've said it before, you know, coming here to meet people. I was a wayward youth. I was about as wayward as they get, I think. Grown up in, out in the woods, you know, in Jersey, which you probably laugh at. But it gets pretty, you know, gets pretty remote out there.
You're talking to the wrong person.
Okay.
I'm always reminding people that New Jersey has wilderness.
Oh, love that. Good. Well, they should. Yeah.
I got New Jersey. We can talk about my New Jersey roots.
Oh, interesting. Soon. Okay. Yes. I'm actually excited to see you when you do get up here next week.
Going.
The show is
sold
out, right?
What's that?
The show is sold out.
The show is sold out.
Yes.
It is sold out.
So sorry, folks, if you didn't get a ticket, but it'll be a hot one. Anyway. Oh, yeah. As I was saying, coming to FMU was opened up a whole world for me that I knew existed because I'd listened to the station. But like you said, the fact that it was ordinary, it was something that I could touch rather than it being abstract or something I read about at the time in magazines or on blogs or what have you. Real people who were into art, who were into music, who were weirdos and wanted to talk about things as much as I wanted to talk about them. You know, I don't want to say it saved my life. That's a bit maudulin. But,
No, it was. Because this is the one time a year where you're allowed to say
that. Okay. Look, if it wasn't for WFMU. Yeah.
No, I don't mean to use the D word, but dude, it's true. And it's true for a lot of people that listen to the station. That saved my life. It's not an understatement. People say, oh, that just, oh, we found a chicken stand and it saved my life. It isn't like that.
No.
It's like I was despondent. I was thinking about taking my life.
Sure.
I found a world. I found something that opened up my heart. I found something that made me feel better about humanity itself. I found others who were not famous or exceptional. The only thing that made them exceptional was their passion for something or for connecting with other humans through this art or for expression or for something that's different or breaking free of the fetters of this culture that's the one that crushes us, the one that wants to take us and drain us and just squeeze our bodily fluids out of us until we are dry and we have to go back and drink more of their mystery cola. Well, let me tell you something. We're here to sate one another and to satisfy that hunger in one another. And you don't have to worry any as long as we're here. We're always going to be here to provide that for you, that connection to others. It isn't just the music. It's the other people that are listening to the music. It isn't just Hardy White's Miracle Nutrition. It's the other people that you know that are also listening and vibing with it, just like you are. And knowing they're there, that's what makes your heart feel free, and that's what makes it feel safe or strong, at least, you know? And so anything that can happen to you physically, oh, there are things that are going to break us down, and we acknowledge that. I'll tell you what, you're not going to hear that a lot of times from people that are selling things. You're not going to hear simple acknowledging and witnessing of your suffering because they're trying to offer solutions. They're are no solutions to some human suffering. Our lot is our lot. We will be born and we will die eventually. There are terrible things that can happen to us. None of us are immune. None of us can escape this. What we can do is reach out to one another and we can make connections. And if we see one another and we witness and we acknowledge it and we can find one another, oh, then we can care for one another. And that's what this station does. It cares for one another, and it cares for the legacy of those who have done this. You are hearing sometimes communications from the dead. A lot of these artists aren't even with us anymore. They're speaking to you across the ages. And that is a miracle that we can keep listening to that. You know, it is... there is censorship in oppressive authoritarian cultures. There's things they don't want you. They start recognizing what dangerous ideas are. Flood the world with the dangerous ideas. Make so many of these tribbles that there's no putting them back in cages. Unleash the floodgate of the freedom of the human creative spirit. And that can't be tamped down. Boy, you have to. You can't even eliminate enough people to get rid of it, because it's going to be in the rocks and it'll be in the trees. It'll be everything that we, in everything that we ever touched. It will resonate. It will be the music that echoes forever, even after we're gone. All these values will continue. It's that important. What you're doing now, hey, you may not be famous. Say, Hardy, my life didn't quite turn out the way I thought it would be. So, I know, I feel you. It just goes by so quickly. I thought, I'd be up to something by now, and maybe I'd be sitting in my villa somewhere, sipping. I don't really enjoy champagne, but something like that. Bring back some of the old Snapple flavors. Maybe I'm rich enough to do that. And let me tell you, it doesn't always work out that way. But I tell you what, I have met you. and our paths have crossed. And that is so beautiful. I tell you, the human spirit just interacting with another person, that's the best that it gets, when you connect like that, when you pass something on good to one another.
Speaking of people who've connected with us and passed a little thing on.
That's a nice, look at that little segue.
Sometimes I'm feeling slightly outmatched right now, but
Segway tours.
Yeah, Segway tours.
City Segway tours.
I love that you remember that. Me and Maddie Warwick were reminiscing about our Segway tour days on Tuesday, as a matter of fact. Matthew in Virginia has given us a very generous pledge. Thank you, Matthew. He says, you are the unknown relative.
Oh, yay. Yes. Oh, that's one of my favorite. Thank you for remembering that episode. I remember that episode.
Beautiful.
And I forget all the things.
Yeah, I know. It also rings a bell for me, but I couldn't do the bit if you put a gun to my head. Charles in Illinois. Oh, in Chicago, Illinois. Pardon me.
Oh, yes. Charles.
Yeah, they got to do that. Love from Charles and Kathleen. Look forward to the show next Friday. He will be in the
dear
house, it
friends.
Looks like. Love that. And Ralph in Fresh Meadows here in New York. He says, first of all, very generous pledge. He's good.
Thank
for
you, Ralph.
He's good for about two T-shirts the size of this one. I always pay to the first show that got me hooked on WFMU.
Oh,
yes.
I'm assuming that's me, but
I think that's pretty safe to say. Yeah, I don't.
Done that before. You know, you can pledge to a couple different shows, right? So you're reading the comments, and I've started reading a comment before thinking it's about me, and it isn't.
No,
but
yeah, there.
Okay. But I make it about me. I don't care. I think it is.
I've filtered a couple of those out, but
they say Clay, but they meant me.
Yeah. It's always
that's how I rate it.
It's always funny that to hear someone say that they discovered FMU through your show, because you know, like you're still new to me,
really
Hardy. You're still like
right?
the exciting new guy. You've been doing this for like 10 years.
I've had discussions about people about wearing the FMU T-shirts and then meeting other listeners. So three times, it's only really happened three times where I've been wearing an FMU T-shirt. Someone has said, "Hey, I've listened to that station for 20 years," and I say, "Fantastic!" And then I say, "I have a show on that station." You know where that's going,
oh,
right?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yep. Oh, that happens.
Never heard of you.
That happens to me all the time. This happens to me
all the time. Well, of course
it will.
But it should.
Yeah.
Holy cow! I mean, it would be weird if it. I mean, nobody knows everything. I'm on the station, and you could say to me, you know, "I have a show on that station," and go, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I've never."
Yeah.
We're both on. How? Because I don't even know everybody.
Usually they just tell me they love Joe Bielak.
Right. As long as you love somebody, I feel like that. If someone's loyal to the station has found something they like about it, dainu. I mean, that's enough for me. It doesn't have to be me necessarily.
No,
I'm
and
really
that's,
committed
you know,
to
when,
people feeling a certain way, and then, you know, it isn't about me.
That's one of the beautiful things I've always felt about here is that you're part of a larger whole, you know? It's not if you're here to build your own personal brand at FMU, you're in the wrong place.
Well, it isn't.
It's not gonna, you know.
It isn't possible.
No, it's really maybe one. There's been maybe two people ever, and we love them and we miss them. But okay, ooh, here we got.
I would like to say those people. It was not our station. There was anybody responsible for anybody's fame.
No. Never.
I think that help happens.
Our very own. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
Oh, our very own Dan Boda checking in. Speaking of WFMU famous.
Yeah.
Vocal
well,
Fry
some
Dan.
Come to, yeah. Well, some people do things, and then, I mean, it doesn't just say there are not people that have accomplished things that are at the at the station.
Yes. Correct. Yes. You can have a life.
Right.
It is much like Severance, where you have a. You have a life here, and you have a life outside. All of my coworkers are all very nice, very normal people, and they're always very weirdly shocked to the point where I'm kind of offended when they find out that I do something interesting on the side sometimes.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Are they that? I don't mean to be
well, not
judgy, but they're that square?
Well, it's just...
Music? What are you What's this?
I think it's part of a. I think it's part
music
of
music boy here. He's on the radio. This music guy.
I think part of it, it speaks to the how touchy. What's the word? You know, in corporate life, everyone feels like they're sitting on a bubble. You know, especially nowadays.
Well, yeah, that's that whole self censorship thing.
Right.
Everybody feels persecuted.
Right.
And everybody is afraid to be themselves.
For sure. Yeah, so no one ever wants to be like, oh, that's really cool, dude. I'll come hang out with you. And, like, it's, you know, yeah. I'll come see you DJ. And it's like, no, you don't. It's fine. We don't have to.
Well, also, the man doesn't want you all to be friends at
that's
all.
That's the absolute biggest part of it.
You can organize and do stuff like that.
You are absolutely correct.
You know.
About that.
They want you to like one another. Then they hire you. That's what's like severance. They make sure you won't all don't have any in common.
Oh, we have another. Okay. We just got a new one in on the phone. And it's... It's Zachary and Ann are checking back in again from West Lafayette.
Because they're amazing.
Because they're amazing. They've doubled their pledge, which is beautiful. And they say, thanks for the dada.
Oh.
So.
That's lovely. Mm-hmm. You're sure that isn't
no,
that
no, exactly? No. It's
well, now, hang on.
That's,
make sure
they're doing, I believe it's the bit, Hardy. I believe that they're doing a bit.
But, if, I hope it's a bit and the computers can just keep resubmitting.
Oh, no. This is handwritten. They're calling in.
Yes. Yeah. We had made one pledge, and our bank is now saying
that's
there's
right.
a list of 10 pledges. Yeah, no, we don't do that.
It's our, what is it? You know, my five favorite modes of art are repetition.
Yeah,
also, if you would like to do a phone bit, guys, you can give us a call. We got about 15 minutes left. 1-800-989-9368. There are several very enthusiastic looking people waiting to take your call right now. So
anybody I know?
I couldn't tell you. I didn't.
Okay.
You heard the kerfuffle when we got started here. I didn't get the names, but I will get them. Before
if they
we are
look
off,
bored, they know me.
Yeah. No, we will be thanking them actually because everyone who
right,
participates.
Right, we thank all the volunteers.
Correct.
I was a little bit intimidated the first time I came up too.
I was terrified the first time I came here. I was so I was so visibly, I don't know, moved or whatever. I got in the elevator and our very own Scott Williams turned and looked at me and he goes, oh, you listen a lot, don't you? I had said nothing to him. I had said zero words to that point.
Right.
Yeah.
He's cheeky.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't even remember the first people I talked to or spoke to when I got there, but it was really weird having to buzz in that first time and go, yeah, I'm Hardy White. Are you expecting me in any way or... have I already done the wrong thing?
We have very visibly displayed. We have two, I think, early letters that you wrote to the station in general, posted up in the kitchen.
I saw those last time I was there, and it was like seeing something that your mom whipped out. From I kept this in the scrapbook. You wrote this when you were in the fourth grade, and you wanted to be a dentist. That's what it felt like. I was reading it. I was going, I wrote that? Holy cow. I don't remember.
I could go grab it. We could read it again.
No, I don't want to. I read it. I was traumatized last time. I read it last year for the first time that it was up there. And I was like, I don't remember writing that, but I seemed like I loved everybody. I was so relieved to not be, that everybody was so cool. I was overwhelmed.
Cool
is
a relative phrase, but yes, I mean, well, you know,
no,
cool. I mean, it's like they weren't like wearing leather jackets and smoking.
No,
some of them,
I
like
mean,
Dave
cool,
the Spaz
like,
was, but
like chill, but not even chill. Like, I don't know what I mean. I don't know. Not, I can't put my finger on it. Maybe just not judgmental or I don't know.
That's
there's
a good
something,
one.
There's something that FMU people aren't that defines them more
that
than
is,
what they are.
That's about as close to hitting it on the head as I've ever heard.
Because I can't... They
negative
don't,
space?
I can't say they all are this. They have this in common. This is not true. And everybody's motives are different. And everybody's backgrounds are pretty different. Probably not different enough. But...
We're getting better on that. Different. Very proud of the strides that have been made in that in the past couple of years.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You can't wait... You got to seek people out. You got to go make community. You got to go make people feel welcome and drag them into your group. That's a mistake people make. They think just, oh, well, the door's unlocked. But you got to go out. You got to seek those who are You said, come on, I think you'd be good here. You'd be perfect. I do this thing. I'm surprised I haven't done it to you. I give unsolicited pep talks to people that I don't know well enough to do that to. And part of me feels bad, and then part of me doesn't, because I'm like, boy, I could have used that so many times. And if the worst that happens is they just think I'm an idiot and I'm being presumptuous, that's fine. But I'll tell you, just to give a handout to somebody and say, I would like to help you get to where you want to be, or I'd like to help you realize a dream, or I'd like to help you participate in something that you love or open up a world to you. And I can't imagine how good it would feel to like bring a young person or into our weird thing, right? And then, you know, to hang out, and then when the books open up, to get your badge and everything. I know I'm using mafia terminology, and it isn't like that.
But it's kind of like a mafia.
It almost is, because there is the books do sort of open, and you get made.
It's very funny that you mentioned.
Sometimes you get whacked.
That's it's funny you mentioned unlocked doors here. When I first started, you know what? I've never told Ken this, but I think the statute of limitations
says... You're doing it right now.
The statute of limitations, I think, has expired. People who are familiar with the building would know that we used to have a whole fire escape out here in the back. Mm-hmm. And I was a brand new volunteer who was close enough to people to show up unannounced, but not close enough to have an actual key to get in the building. And so I would very often, after a night out in the city... come back here on the path where I would park my car here to take advantage of the parking situation, and I would climb the fire escape to surprise whatever of my friends happened to be doing the overnights. So, shout outs to Bennett for Senate, and Noah Zark, and who else did I do that to? Chris M. Yeah.
I feel like Ken's gonna fire you.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I mean, it was a long time ago.
Yeah. Well, we all knew it was you were doing.
I know. You know. Now there's a condo back there. You can't.
Good. Yeah. So the ne'er-do-wells like yourself, right? There's people that weren't, you know, that were not friendly that had gone up that far escape too. So.
Right. That's true. Yes. Yeah. So it all.
Maybe you were just pointing out a security flaw.
Hopefully.
That eventually it was very valuable. You did a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, you're like those hackers that break in and say, "Here, I found
a white hat." Yes. Was. Yes. That's right. That's right.
Joe, I would like to pay you to break in and steal my diamonds, the Hardy White diamonds, to see if it's doable. And then we'll know where the flaws are. But then when you go to do that, then a real thief actually breaks in at the same time. And then I think that you double-crossed me. I'm like, where are the Hardy White diamonds, Joe? Where are they? And you're like, I didn't take them. I didn't even get there that night. Somebody else must have taken them. And I go, I know you're lying. I know you're lying.
I have always pictured you living on a bit of a like a compound, like kind of an Abbottabad situation, you know, not Waco, but like a, you know, the Hardy White estate. I feel
do
like
you know
there's...
when I did. I do feel like you lied to me in the past.
About what?
Do you know what I'm talking about? I don't know. Okay, so
you know,
no,
I've
I
never.
Know.
Okay.
Do you know? Do you have any idea?
No,
what
I do
I
not.
You lied to me. About?
Couldn't tell you.
Okay, so a few like many years ago. I guess it's many years ago now. There was this mysterious delivery of some gnomes.
Oh, no. I remember this distinctly, and I had absolutely nothing to do with it.
Really?
I swear, Hardy, I'll put it on my mom.
See, I actually believe you, but then I felt such pity because I'm thinking, oh, my God, Joe is one of those guys that even when he's telling the truth, it seems like he's lying. He's going to go to jail.
You know, I don't know.
That's what I thought. I thought, oh, they're going to arrest Joe. Like, what's going on? What's going on? And then it's all over because you just robbed that store. No, I didn't. No, I didn't. Like that, you know.
The greatest compliment I ever got was my ninth grade shop teacher, and he said, Duffy, you scare the expletive out of me. And I said, why? And he goes, because you always look like you know what you're doing.
Yeah. Oh.
When I would be like loading something into like the circular saw that was gonna like blow it up.
Yeah. I've got to tell you, that's so funny. I can identify with that because I've always felt anytime I've gotten a job, I've always wanted to warn them, I look way more competent than I am. I know I don't look like a complete F-up. I know I don't. And the way I present myself, and I'm speaking to you now like I have a plan, and you're wrong. So I just want to let you know, and I just want to manage expectations, and please don't really count on me for anything.
Speaking of managing here, we've got a little bit more technical obligations here to fill.
Your segues are like they're like poetry. I think you were probably. I'm going to go out on a limb and say you were a creative writing major at one of the Ivies.
New Jersey City University. Baby, that's right. Harvard and CCM, Community College Morris. We called it Harvard on the Hill, which I think I found out later. Wow. So much is a common community college joke. Glenn in Union, Maine says Hardy White is great. He thanks us with a very generous pledge. Joseph in Port Jervis, New York. Emil, in Amsterdam. Stephen in Rockaway, New Jersey, from my neck of the woods. Not my father, Stephen, a different Stephen, but he spells it the same way. Mm-hmm. Chris in Clifton. Robert in Jersey City. He says, thank you. Thank you, Robert.
Thank you.
Greg in Detroit says, Hardy to me is somewhere between Jim Varney and the Welsh Kurt Schwitters. Keep up the good work. Yeah. I don't know who Kurt Schwitters is. And then... Kevin, our very own Kevin Nutt, brother Kevin Nutt in Montgomery, Alabama, says, Brother Hardy and Brother Joe Duffy, delighted to hear you two together. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Kevin.
Hallelujah, Kevin. Thank you, brother. We got a couple more, I think, pledges rolling in, hopefully. I want to thank our trusty phone volunteers, Sam and Sylvia. Give yourself
thank
a
you,
round.
Thank you, Sam and Sylvia. Yeah.
Thank you so much, guys. Couldn't have done it without you. And if you want to sneak it in, under the wire, folks, WFMU.org or 1-800-989-9368.
We're doing pretty. I haven't looked at the numbers because I feel.
Oh,
like,
yeah, we've been too busy yakking.
But I will say, like, this is the thing to do with your resources.
Certainly.
Right now, you know, and
I liked your analysis earlier of resources and utilizing resources. It's very Marxist. You know, it's about like. It's about the base, you know, and the superstructure, and you guys are the base, and WFMU is the superstructure.
Yeah, and you gotta, yeah. What's going to advocate? What's going to make the world like I want it to be? What's my vision? You've got to have a vision, you know. And that means being creative. So your vision isn't going to be perfect. You just have to throw everything out there. It's ideas, 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 ideas. There's got to be a creative storm of them, you know. There's just open up those doors in the sky, open each one of them, and there's a world behind them. And we're looking for the ones that are potentially the most beautiful, the ones that afford us the most dignity and love, where all of our needs can be met at the very least, and then we can worry about our desires and dream about them as long as that we're all our needs are met and that we're not, none of us are starving or thirst or perishing and from exposure. Oh, beautiful souls out there, I'm so glad that you let me into your lives. I absolutely am grateful for it beyond words. And I ran out of them there because it felt like there was a word that meant grateful with every fiber of my being. And I have no value that transcends the one that is your presence in my life. And that means collectively all the people that are hearing my voice. And all your words tonight are so beautiful to me because we all love the same thing. And all my relationships, you know, people are fragile. These things are not here forever. None of the people are, none of the artists, none of the bands are. It's all just, here it's gone. It's a beautiful sandcastle. So savor it. Go deep in the experience. Allow yourself. Open your heart. Enjoy the others. Enjoy all these great personalities on this wacky radio station. Let yourself laugh and cry with them and scream at the ones that are annoying. You're so blessed. You are listening to Miracle Nutrition, WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in Rockland County in New York City, New York, and online at WFMU.org. We're getting to the last minute, Joe Duffy.
Yes, sir. We got a couple last minute ones here real quick. Barney in East Setauket. Daniel in Belmore, and Jeff.
Daniel in Belmore.
Jeff in...
You're doing like Ernie Anderson.
Well, even fancier, Jeff, and the English way of spelling Jeff, in Langholm, Dumfries, and Galloway, United Kingdom. We're international.
Jeff in the United Kingdom is giving a pledge. So. Jeff's out there in England, and he's loving the show. Joe's in New Jersey, and he's reading the pledges. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, Hardy.
Okay, now we're going to pass it on. Thank you.
Bailey's
here. Listeners.
We got some real soulful jams queued up.
All right, let's
hear
it.
You, Hardy, you touched our souls, so now we're going to keep it soulful.
Thank you, Joe. I love you, man.
I love you too, bro. We'll see you soon. All right, folks. Here we go.
Twins name was Ebony. Her name was Mahogany. 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 Twins name was Ebony.
Oh! need.